This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. That's lumin.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
Romans 12 from verse 9. And he's talking now about love. We continue with our thinking about how do I live in the light of all that Paul has taught, the Holy Spirit has taught in Romans. And here's the second point. Love must be sincere. What is love? Well, you hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling to the things of God. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Prefer each other's needs. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So lots of little bullet points about what love is like, what love looks like in the brotherhood, in the church, in the communion of saints. And of course, it's all very confusing in our world because the enemy has blurred what should have been fairly clear of who is in and who is out of the fellowship of the church. And it's now so confusing. But God is calling all the people that turn up to church, all the people that say they're Christians, he's calling them all to come closer to him. So we need to love them. We need to love them and draw them full. And if we are in full of fervour and on fire for Jesus, then they will either be drawn towards us or they will keep away. But we are called to love. Of course, that can become very demanding. And of course, that can become burning out stuff. So we need to be asking God for his power and also his wisdom about not only how to love, but also who to invest in. Which are the people we are called to invest in? If you're in a church of, say, 100 people, you cannot be investing fully in 99 other people, plus your family, plus. But God will say, well, no, these are the people I want you to invest in, because those people over there, that person's investing in them. And God will work it all out like that. But we're called to honour one another above ourselves. You may be the greatest teacher of spiritual truths in the world as far as you're concerned, but you're called to honour that person who stumbles when every time they get up to speak. And you're called to honour them above yourself, to prefer them. Wow, you did well today. Bless them. That was encouraging. What you said there spoke to me. Don't lie, but find truthful ways of affirming what people do. Then he goes on a little bit beyond the church. Bless those, verse 14, who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Persecution isn't just physical. It's not just torture. It can simply be preferring someone else to you for a promotion at work or whatever, simply because of your faith. Bless that person. And if you're doing things God's way, then God is blessing you, and you will get more from it in the end than if you have fought your way to something that actually you didn't use God's techniques, God's methods, you weren't using God's way of thinking, and you pushed yourself forward in a worldly way. You're losing out on God's blessing. You're missing the stuff God can give you. So rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Share each other's needs. Live in harmony with one another and do not be proud, but associate with people of low positions. Don't be conceited. So if you are the Duke of somewhere, don't be afraid. Don't be someone who refuses to go and sit next to a beggar on the street. go and share where they are today. Be with them. Be with the people that God puts around you, whoever they are, irregardless of their circumstances and yours. And don't repay anyone evil for evil. This is love, isn't it? Someone does something to you. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Essentially here, do not repay evil for evil. So you walk away from the situation and you don't try and get them back. You just let it pass. And the way to do that, because so much of these things, you try it on your own and you fail because you stew inside, you get angry. The way to do these things is simply to pray for these people. If someone persecutes you, pray for them, and God will give you a heart of love for them. If someone does evil to you, pray for them, and God will help you to get beyond it. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Really? Are you saying that in the Bible? Surely it's be careful to do what is right in God's eyes. Because in our world today, the eyes of everybody think what is right are things which perhaps God would say are not right. So what's he saying here? Well, actually, he's saying there is a deeper truth. That if you forgive, in the end, everybody recognizes that as a right thing to do. That was a good response. They may not think so immediately, but when they reflect on it, they can see the rightness of the response. If you do it God's way, you will gain people's blessing too. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So you're not the person who's agitating. You're the person who is smoothing. Live at peace. And if they won't accept it, well, you do what you can. And sometimes that will mean you move away from their situation. You keep away from them because you being there makes it difficult. Be the peacemaker. Don't take revenge. Leave that for God. He'll look after you. He'll look after you and care for you and sort out your problems. You see, this is what it means to have your mind completely renewed. Verse 2, don't conform to the pattern of the world. Get revenge. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. Don't forgive. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. But be renewed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove God's will and God's ways. So he quotes now from Proverbs. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Which is not to say, hey, the reason to do this is to heap burning coals on his head. But it is actually to say, you are showing something far greater than what they are doing to you. And you are responding in a way which shames them, it reduces them, and it takes the victory away from them. So he starts by chapter 12 by saying, in view of everything I've taught you, have your mind transformed. And he finishes it by saying, don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. Which is the same thing. Have your mind and the way you do things and the way you think transformed to be like God. Be a living sacrifice offered to God, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is. Overcome evil with godliness, with being like Jesus. And you know what? Absolutely impossible. You can't do it. Close the book. It's not doable. You have to ask Jesus to do it for you. You have to say, God, I want to have a life which is a living sacrifice. Would you do that for me? I want to have a heart which loves you. Would you give me that heart? I want to be a person who walks in the light of the knowledge of Jesus. Would you create in me a desire to be a person like that? You have to say, I cannot do it. Jesus, I give you my life. Will you do it through me? Just as you cannot get yourself saved, you have to say, Jesus, I accept the salvation you have provided. So you cannot live a good Christian life without saying, Jesus, I acknowledge my sinfulness. Would you, through your Spirit, live through me as you would have me live? And teach me day by day, fill me day by day, and make me like you day by day. Amen. Day by day.
Thank you for listening.